You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. It's a time of year when a lot of people are at the beginning of their New Year's resolutions. They want to do things like lose weight, save money, and get healthier.
There's one annual tradition, seems to be on the rise, could achieve all these goals. It's called Dry January, or Drynuary, or Janopause, depending on who you talk to. It's the practice of giving up all alcohol for the month of January.
Our next guest has practiced in Drynuary for the past 8 years, and he's in the middle of yet another Dry January. John Orr joins us. He's credited, by the way, with coining the name Drynuary. He's been writing about it for 5 years. John, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much.
So going back to your very first Dry January, what you came to call Drynuary, what made you decide to do it?
Well, the idea really was born between my wife and I after a typical festive holiday. We kind of came up with the idea of taking the entire month of January off as sort of a renewal and perhaps a cleanse from the holiday season, where you typically are very social and you overindulge, and it sort of came up as a bit of a dare. You know, can we even do this? Is this something we're interested in doing? Let's make it more interesting than just a weekend. Let's make it a month.
So during that very first Dry January that you guys did, were other people doing it, or were you kind of out there on your own?
At the first Dry January or Drynuary, we felt like we were kind of on our own, to be honest with you, especially the reaction that we got from friends and family and other people that encountered us in our daily lives. We kind of felt like we had stumbled upon something unique that first Drynuary, you know, but as subsequent years would bear out, we clearly weren't alone.
What was it like? Do you remember? How did it go?
It was tough, for sure. It was tough. It was interesting. The reaction that we got from friends and family, as well as each other as we transited the month, was pretty eye-opening in terms of feeling like we were embarking on a bit of a marathon, as it were, since it was an entire month. It was difficult, don't get me wrong. We enjoy wine, and we enjoy beer at social events and during hockey games and so forth, so giving something up that, you know, occupies a, I don't want to say a central part of your life, but, you know, a significant part of your life at times, was pretty eye-opening.
It has caught on by the since those early days when you were doing it. Anne Hathaway, I just read in the New York Times, is observing a Dry January, a Drynuary. What do you make of the way that it's catching on with people?
I don't know if it's catching on so much as people are discovering that more people do it than themselves, perhaps. The fact that we weren't unique in our discovering of Drynuary, obviously, I feel like people in the United Kingdom have been doing this for years. Apparently, I discovered this year, it's big in Nordic countries. Apparently, the Finnish call it whitening of the nose or something like that, but I couldn't prove that via Google. But it seems like it's a common sentiment that you want to sort of pump the brakes after the holidays, and that you want to slow down and perhaps give yourself a chance to renew in the new year. So I'm surprised at perhaps the volume and the notoriety that it's achieved in social media and the media. I'm not necessarily surprised that so many people are doing it.
Alcohol is a big part of a lot of American culture. It's part of a lot of socializing, not just around the holidays. As you said, sports are one aspect, you know, watching playoff games, football, what have you, where, you know, people tend to drink a beer or something like that. Did it interfere with that aspect of your life, just the socializing and going out and keeping on with the normal stuff you do, but just without alcohol?
I don't feel like it interferes with it at all. One of the things that my wife and I made a point of during Drynuary was to sort of live our lives as normal and not hole up in our apartment and, you know, close the shade, so to speak. So, you know, we go out, we go to Broadway shows, sporting events, we go and watch sporting events or watch shows with our family and friends, and we throw ourselves right into the lion's den in many occasions where people are consuming alcohol. And I think that's kind of the point, actually, is to be able to remain stout in those situations and commit yourself to the entire month of Drynuary and not fold because somebody invited you to an interesting happy hour on a Friday evening.
Now, health benefits are one aspect of this, and apparently there are a lot of them. What do you think the body gets out of having a month without alcohol?
Well, speaking from personal experience, the things that I look forward to, and I honestly do look forward to Drynuary every year, the things that I look forward to are sort of this clarity, sleeping better. This losing weight is a terrific benefit that I experience and enjoy every year. It certainly helps with people who are embarking on New Year's resolutions to get more healthy. So I feel like there are some, you know, mental and physical benefits that I've experienced. And until recently, I think the jury was really out on whether or not there were physiological benefits. But I've seen some recent studies, for example, in New Scientist, that show that, you know, blood glucose levels and liver function actually do benefit from a period of abstinence like Dry-nuary, whereas previously I think the medicine was inconclusive on that.
Now, you do this each year, it sounds like, with your wife. Is it easier, do you think, if you have a buddy to do Dry-nuary with, that you can support each other and encourage each other?
Absolutely. The buddy system, I feel, is critical to Dry-nuary, so you don't feel like you're alone on this dry island, so to speak. We support each other. We, you know, share our triumphs, and we sort of share our dread at the same time during the month. And it's great when, you know, we're socializing or going out. We've got a partner in crime, so to speak, to order a soda with lime at a bar or something like that, and we don't feel like we're alone in this. And so I definitely encourage people who are going to embark on this to do it with a partner or get a friend or buddy up. But, you know, I've actually enlisted more of my family this year, and they're spread across the United States, and they're doing it as well for the first time, quite honestly. And so that really does help. And, you know, drinking is social, and Dry-nuary is social too.
Now, Dry-nuary does have its critics. There are people who say, sure, you don't drink in January, but then when you hit February, people go a little overboard because they want to congratulate themselves on observing a full dry January. Do you see any merit to critiques like that?
I honestly don't, and maybe that's not the most objective point of view, but I can tell you through my personal experience and those around me, people that I know that participate in Dry-nuary, that's just not the case. And it is a little frustrating and infuriating when people sort of come out of the woodwork to opine on your lifestyle and make critiques of your lifestyle that they have absolutely no insight into, and saying that, oh, you must be a lush the rest of the year, that's why you do Dry-nuary, and you're just going to binge in February. Look, I've gotten to a stage in my life, and I've certainly gone through enough Dry-nuaries where binging in February it's just not an option. It doesn't feel good. There have been Dry-nuaries where I've sat there on January 31st, and I'm like, you know, I want to go an extra week, perhaps. This feels really good. I'm really enjoying this. So I take those critiques with a grain of salt, in that they're typically made from afar with, you know, zero insight into my lifestyle and the lifestyle of other people participating, but it is a little frustrating.
Wisconsin is a state that has a lot of bars. Some would say that it has a big drinking culture that can be problematic sometimes. Do you think that something like this is, say, good for people maybe coming from a heavy drinking culture, or is it better just to learn moderation across the board?
I actually do think it's a good thing, and I would state that Dry-nuary and moderation across the board are not mutually exclusive concepts by any stretch of the imagination, and that sort of goes back to the point about people claiming that Dry-nuary participants just binge the rest of the year. That's not true. It helps teach you moderation. It helps infuse you with something you can carry through the rest of the year. And certainly in heavy drinking cultures, I live in New York City, there are a lot of bars, and it's a very heavy drinking culture here, absolutely. I think people can benefit from it, in that it helps you sort of recalibrate. It helps you pump the brakes. It helps you sort of reset yourself for the rest of the year. And quite honestly, if drinking is something you enjoy, you know, absence makes the heart go fonder to a degree. It helps you appreciate drinking in social situations, or with dinner, or having a good, you know, a good glass of wine with dinner or something like that, or special occasions. It does help you appreciate those more. So maybe abstinence makes the heart go fonder.
Do you think that it works and has benefits for even people who are not people who drink a lot? Maybe they have a drink a week or a drink a day. Do you think even moderate drinkers, I guess, can get something out of this?
I do. I don't think it really applies specifically to heavy drinkers necessarily versus moderate drinkers. I think it applies to anybody who feels like, hey, I could use a break. Or, you know, the holidays, again, the impetus behind this was the holidays, and the holiday season is overindulgence across the board. It's social, food, booze, everything. It's family. It's overkill usually across the board. And so being able to take a break from that and reset yourself, I think, is beneficial. And even if you're, you know, a one glass of wine a week type of person, I think Dry-nuary can certainly have its benefits, because it may make you appreciate that one glass of wine a week, having taken a break from it.
We're talking right now with John Orr about why he gives up alcohol every January, a practice known as Dry-nuary.
And we want to hear from you on this. Have you ever participated in Dry-nuary? Are you doing it right now, giving up alcohol for the whole month? Is this a good idea? Is this something you'd want to try? Is this something that we should do more of in Wisconsin? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're picking up our discussion now about Dry-nuary, or the practice of giving up alcohol entirely for the month of January. Our guest is John Orr. He's in the middle of his ninth Dry-nuary right now.
And you can join the conversation right now at 800-642-1234. What do you think about this idea, giving up alcohol completely for the month of January? How would that fit into your life? Or is that your life already? You don't drink at all. Have you done Dry-nuary? Are you doing it right now? What kind of benefits do you see from it? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post over at the Central Time Facebook page.
Rachel posted on Facebook, and she said, "I'm doing this for the first time this month. Although it's been challenging, I think overall it's been a great way to detox after the holidays and to think more seriously and consciously about my health. I'm glad I'm doing it and very glad not to be doing it alone. I have a couple of friends who are doing it as well." Do you think that's true for you, John? Do you think more about your health, more consciously about it when you're doing something like Dry-nuary?
Absolutely. And the absence of something that you enjoy, as well as something that you may partake in several times a week or whatnot, is noticeable. And when all of a sudden the pounds start dropping off, for example, during Dry-nuary, you start thinking, okay, hey, this is a great benefit. Obviously, it's happening because I'm not having a couple of beers after hockey or anything like that. How can I then carry this into the rest of the year? How is this affecting my health? I really enjoy the way this makes me feel. How can I subsequently carry this forward?
Do you ever think that maybe it would be something worth looking into to just give up drinking? If you feel so good during Dry-nuary, why not carry it forward throughout the entire year?
Well, I think everything in moderation is a great thing. So Dry-nuary in moderation is probably a great thing as well. Certainly, I think culturally, Americans have a bit of a puritanical view of alcohol and its use. I think there's a bit of a stigma around heavy drinking. There's a stigma around alcoholism. It's sort of a binary on-off switch. And, you know, I think perhaps Dry-nuary might be a way to help ease people into the notion of doing something in moderation, even if it is taking a month off, so that you can infuse moderation into your daily life, with whatever it is.
Has it, do you think, strengthened sort of willpower muscles that, you know, might not be used for not drinking, might be used for something else? Do you think is a practice that does more than get you to stop drinking for a month?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. The fact that you can do it, and certainly the first one was the hardest, and once you've proven to yourself that, hey, this is something that I can undertake, I've got a partner in crime in my wife, and we look at it almost as a competition. Hey, you know, sometimes I try to go a day or two longer than her just to say that I did. So it does infuse, I think, a little bit of that willpower muscle, as you call it, so that you can carry that forward in your life and say, okay, where are other examples in my life where I need to exercise some willpower? Can I reach back to Dry-nuary and take some clues or some lessons from that and use that in my daily life elsewhere?
We're going to go to our phone lines now. We've got Arnie joining us from Arcadia. Hi, Arnie.
Hello.
Hi, what do you think?
Oh, I say I gave up in January of 1982, and I haven't gone back. I had my quota.
So did you feel like you were doing that as a response to the holiday season, maybe overdoing it heading into January?
Well, it wasn't just a holiday. It was a career of overdoing it, so I gave up, and things are much better now.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, Arnie. And do you think, John, that happens? People use Dry-nuary as a springboard to cut down overall. Maybe it's a good just launching point.
Yeah, I do think that. I think there are some schools of thought, certainly in the addiction and treatment community, that feel like bouts of abstinence, like a dryanuary, can be useful in embarking on a concerted effort to cut down on alcohol use or abuse. Certainly there's a movement called Moderation Management that has opined that a 30-day abstinence period like dryanuary can be useful in infusing moderation into somebody's lifestyle and could even be a jumping off point towards, you know, actually denying the use of alcohol long term if that's something that they feel is in their best interest.
Now, there are message boards online, as you know, where people sound off about this concept. Some people are doing it and they want support. Some people have critiques again. And one comment that's been out there that we've seen is that other people, people have said that if you have to force yourself to abstain from alcohol for a month, then you're an alcoholic. What do you say to something like that?
I think that goes back to sort of my frustration and fascination with people who deign to, you know, opine on somebody's lifestyle from afar without knowing anything about that person. And it also speaks more towards the binary and, you know, what I believe is kind of a puritanical American view of alcohol use. It's you're either an alcoholic or you're not. You're either, you know, you either drink or you don't. There is no in-between. There is no place for dryanuary in their minds. And, you know, whether or not one can say that an alcoholic can actually physically do dryanuary for 30 days and that doesn't make them not an alcoholic, you know, that remains to be seen. But, you know, I think it is a curious and frustrating part of the reaction to dryanuary that people are who have no MD and, you know, maybe aren't even in the clinical psychology field and they feel like they're experts on somebody else's lifestyle just because I choose not to drink for a month.
So with your first dryanuary, were there things about it that were harder when you practiced it that very first month than they are now? Because this is the ninth one that you're in the middle of right now. You've got a track record of these now behind you. Is it easier?
Yes, absolutely. You learn tricks and you learn sort of ways to navigate dryanuary. You know, from personal experience, the third week is the hardest, quite honestly, and we're almost there. So you know, you got a bit of a daunting bump in the road ahead of me, even in my ninth year. But the first year, absolutely. It was going to social situations where you commonly were used to having a beer or two or a glass of wine or something like that and not doing it. For me, I play sort of beer league rec ice hockey, which is, you know, has beer league in the name. So not having a beer with my teammates after a game is something I had to get used to. And it's doing that, it creates that willpower muscle memory that you alluded to earlier, and you carry that forward from year after year, and you develop coping strategies and even the ability to, you know, throw your teammates' mockery back in their face.
Do you think people are less comfortable around you when you're not drinking, but they are?
That's a really interesting point, especially if they don't know me. 9 years in, at this point, everybody who knows me know that I do this goofy thing every January, and they accept it, and they're used to it. But in social situations where somebody isn't quite as familiar with what you do, especially in a business atmosphere, for example, the absence of you drinking is noticeable. You know, so there's a whole etiquette around you ask somebody why they're not drinking because you might be afraid of the answer. You know, you find out they're in recovery. You know, you find out they're in their first trimester of an unannounced pregnancy. You know, you find out they're on some sort of scary medication that has interactions. So it is really interesting with people that don't know me, how they react when, you know, in a circumstance where it's absolutely understood that you're going to have a glass of wine with dinner at a business function that you don't.
I think we have time for one more super quick call. Anne on the Cross, hi.
Hello. Hello. I've been listening with interest to your program, and my main feeling is that I just feel sorry for people who think that they have to have a drink to have a good time. I quit because of medications 25 years ago, and I find that my family understands that. There's no problem there, but other
Anna,
people...
I'm sorry, Anna, I have to cut you off. We're short on time, but do you have to drink to have a good time, John?
No, absolutely not. And I think that's one thing that dryanuary shows you, and that's one thing that we try to achieve is go out and socialize as normal. You can have just as good of a time, absolutely, without drinking. In fact, sometimes it's funnier to be around people who are overindulging when you're stone cold sober.
Well, thanks to Anne for her perspective. And John, thank you to you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
We've been speaking with journalist John Orr. He's in the middle of his ninth dry-nuary. His article about the subject is linked on the Central Time Facebook page.